Charles Davis is with NFL Network. He is joining us via the Revel Wireless Hotline. Charles, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. How have you been?
I've been outstanding, my friend. Like you, very busy kind of getting ready for this draft while also going through the day-to-day of free agency. And even though it's supposed to be quieted down at this point, the Browns are still making moves. And the most recent addition, bringing aboard Don Nelson from the Buffalo Bills, I want your thought about what kind of impact you think that makes on the Browns.
Well, I think it's a good one. You know, you add another weapon. You add a guy who can play. It's kind of, you know, it's already kind of a thin receiving core, and you need to add more people to it. And you've got a guy who's, you know, who's played in the league and understands what is expected of him. And I think oftentimes when you get a guy who's coming from another team, he has that little something extra to prove. You know, they always feel that way. I'll show you.
Right.
And this is a great opportunity with a young quarterback who, well, you know, everybody wants to joke about Brandon Weeden's age. Young in NFL experience, but a new offensive coordinator, new head coach. This is a great time for everyone to be able to take a step forward and shine.
And, Charles, when you picture a North Turner offense, and a Rob Chudzinski offense for that matter, but when you picture the offenses that Norv has run and put together, those are the types of receivers you see. The physical prototype is tall, athletic, the kinds of things that real long frame, the kinds of things that Nelson brings.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, you think about Norv with the Cowboys. In no way am I saying that this guy is Michael Irvin, but that's the type of body type we're talking about, isn't it? So that's
right.
That's what you're looking for. You look for those big, strong guys, not afraid to go and work in the inside part of the field, keep the sticks moving, and when the big plays happen, because with these big, strong receivers, after a while, sometimes tackling them is the third and fourth quarter is not the same as the first, second quarter. We always look at it that way, Vic, with running backs. But, you know, these big, strong receivers nowadays, they're no day at the beach either. So this is a good thing.
Charles, when you see what the Browns have done to date in free agency, let's look at the whole body of work up to this point, and now work that into the thought process of looking at the draft. And I know you analyze these college players so closely in your day-to-day work with NFL Network. How do you see that? How do you see these two meshing, what they've accomplished and what they still need to do?
Well, that's always the key, because a lot of them are coming out of offenses that aren't really asking you to do a lot of what the NFL will ask you to do in terms of routes, progressions, things of that nature. A lot of the college offenses with the spread stuff is get open, show me your numbers, and I'll get you to football. Not quite the same on the NFL level, a little more not just sophisticated, but a little more precise in what you're doing. So you've got to project some of that. You've got to project to where a kid is going to be coachable and has the aptitude to pick up on an NFL offense and put all that to good use. I think we're seeing more and more of that. Vic, as you well know, it wasn't that long ago all the coaches we ever talked to were just bemoaning the fact that the college is running so much spread. Remember
right.
that?
Yes.
We can't evaluate them. They don't do what we do. I haven't heard as much of that lately. People have adjusted. People figure out that's what the colleges are going to do, what works best for them. And it's, guess what? It's up to the NFL guys to coach them. And they're just doing a better job of evaluating the guys they think will get it done for them when they're going to select them.
And I think, and I don't know if you agree with this, but I think it applies to the defensive side. You see more and more of that hybrid edge guy, that he's a defensive end at the collegiate level, but it's easy to project him as an outside linebacker in the NFL. The Browns running that 3-4. Looking for that type of piece for their – I mean, they're looking for a lot of different pieces, but that edge-rushing piece, the one that they picked up in Paul Kruger from the Baltimore Ravens, they get Quentin Groves from the Arizona Cardinals. I don't know that they're quite done with doing that, and this draft seems to have those types of guys, those guys that you point to as ends like Deion Jordan at Oregon in college, who are – you can easily translate them or transfer them into outside linebackers, or so you think. It looks like you could.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, and that's always the key. Can you get those guys to transition? You know, you look within division, look what Pittsburgh's done over the years. You know, Lamar Woodley was a down defensive end in college that they saw as a guy who could transition and play. Do we have guys like that in this year's draft? Well, you know when we go to the combine, Vic, how often after the defensive end drills do we see all those guys taking drills as outside linebackers?
Yep.
It seems like almost all of them now, right? They don't even distinguish. It used to be, well, there'd be about five guys we'll look at. Now it's like, all of you, try it. Let's see what it looks like. And, you know, you see a big guy like Margus Hunt, you know, a big defensive end from SMU going through those drills. Bjorn Werner from Florida State going through those drills, trying to figure out who it is that can make that type of transition bigger, stronger, stouter, the better. That's what they're looking for.
And when we get to the Browns at number six, Charles, we could look at multiple needs for sure. One of them we just talked about, that edge rusher, and maybe that is a way to go. But there are those who think the conventional approach to this should be just get your cornerback there and get the best cornerback on the board on the presumption that Dee Milner from Alabama is available. And I don't know what your thoughts are in terms of, A, his availability, and, D, the wisdom, B, maybe I'll learn the alphabet too, yeah. B, the wisdom of going with him at number six.
Yeah, and I think that the scramble is going to be what happens above, obviously. But I don't think anyone's really at play for Dee Milner, although you keep hearing about every team needing one. Could Jacksonville go at two? I tend to doubt it. My sense is that Detroit at five is more of an issue than Jacksonville at two, way more of an issue. But if not, I think he's sitting there at six. And I'm not sure at that number what pass rusher, outside linebacker type guy we're talking about. Because for the longest time, I was saying Jarvis Jones.
Right.
Now we've got to find out how the Browns brass quantifies what they saw at his pro day versus the great tape that they get to watch where he's getting to the quarterback in SEC play. Because the numbers dictate that he might not be that explosive pass rusher, running 4.95 40, you know, didn't jump very well. I think he's like 30-inch vertical. So the explosion doesn't seem to be there, but it's there when you watch him on tape. And so that's going to be the tough part for the Browns to try and figure out, because I'm saying, okay, who else do you take there at six that fits that bill? Unless Deion Jordan slips. You know, if Deion Jordan slips, now you've got something to play with. And when I say slips to six, it seems like the wrong word, but it seems like there's such competition for Deion Jordan already that you're wondering, will he go two to Jacksonville? At worst case, do you think he goes four to Philadelphia? You know, that sort of a deal. So now you're into that sort of, okay, what are we going to do here? Is there that one guy that we really like that high? For a long time, we thought Bjorn Warner would be a great edge rusher, but I'm not sure people see him as a double-digit sack guy now. Is he more of a base end? So picking at six is going to be tough. Your wild card is, what if you're not sold on your quarterback? You know, yeah. If you're not sold on your quarterback, do you go quarterback at six? Well, in this year's draft, it doesn't seem like that's everyone's flavor based on Buffalo signing Kevin Cobb, right? Arizona signing Carson Palmer. You know, you're looking at all these teams that are quarterback needy, and they're going veteran route. Oakland signing Matt Flynn, you know, making the move for Matt Flynn. That doesn't suggest to me that there's a great consensus around the league that there's a quarterback that people want that high. So I tend to think that Cleveland doesn't go there.
Charles Davis from NFL Network joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I was going to get to you on this quarterback thing, too, because it is such an interesting topic league-wide. It is something that I think Browns fans kind of want to see what this team might do, if not with that first pick that they have, somewhere along the line, maybe still address that they don't know if all the work is done, even though they've brought aboard Jason Campbell as the veteran guy behind Brandon Whedon. But, you know, how definitively sold are they on Whedon? They aren't. He needs to show, I think, a lot more to this. They're willing to give him the chance to be the guy, but I think he needs to lock that down more, which tells me, you know, is this a draft where you might have that safeguard guy or put the flyer out there on somebody and then say, hey, maybe down the road a couple of years or even 2014, this will be our guy.
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to have to figure out and see. The tough part is this is not a huge quarterback draft. You know, I mean, if you're picking way down the line, once you get out of probably the second round, maybe third, I'm not sure where you would go to say that down the line this could be a guy that we would develop. I mean, that would be a tremendous stretch, I would think. I think a lot of people are eyeing next year as seeing a seemingly a better quarterback draft. But again, you know, every time we say something like that, Vic, how many quarterbacks end up going in the first round? More than we expect, right? Happens
True.
Every single time. So we'll just have to play this one out and see. I think the Browns are in pretty decent shape. You know, you've got Whedon from last year. You've got a veteran, Jason Campbell. They don't have to. I don't think they have to go and reach for a quarterback that they're just not absolutely positively sold on. If they were to take someone at six, that would suggest to me that they really feel like they are sold on their guy. Similar to Ryan Tannehill going at eight to Miami last year, where a lot of us said, I don't know about him at eight. you know, but they decided he was their guy. Go back to Tennessee a couple years ago, Jake Locker at 8. Remember, I think we all kind of fell out of our chair. Yet at the same time, Tennessee told us, we think he's our guy. Minnesota, Christian Ponder at 12. Another, I think, was a surprise for all of us. Again, that's Minnesota saying, we think that he's best for us. Now, jury's still out on every guy I named. And that's the tough part because Andrew Luck came and proved himself right away. Robert Griffin III did. In a mild surprise, Russell Wilson did. But I think we all liked Russell Wilson. Everything about his game except for what? 5'10 and 3/8.
Yeah. No.
If he's 6'2", no question he's in the upper part of the first round.
Yeah, it would not have been a discussion. Yeah. All right, now look at the, let me take you through this scenario. So if the Browns decide at 6 to not go with a corner, to not go with D. Milner or any corner there, mm-hmm. and they decide not to go with an offensive guard that high, a lot of folks excited
about Warmack or a Cooper.
Yeah, you know, excited about those guys understandably as the potential first rounders. And that, okay, that said, when, and we know right now they don't have a second round pick, so do you see a player at the corner or guard position that could be taken third, fourth round that anybody could feel good about right now?
Well, the kid out of Kent State, Brian Winters, you know, is a big old man, right? And I get to watch him in the postseason, and I think there's a lot of things he can do. To me, he kind of fits in that territory if we talk about offensive guard. If we're talking about cornerback, there's going to be a ton of different opportunities. It'd be how high a lot of these guys get valued. You may get a small school guy like a B.W. Webb that could go into third, although I think most people probably have a second-round grade on him, Vic. You know, a Robert Alford, southeastern, you know, Louisiana, another guy that I think people probably have more of a second-round grade on. You know, I'm just watching Terry Hawthorne from Illinois, watching some tape on him. He had a tough night against Quentin Patton, the tape I'm watching, Louisiana Tech wide receiver. Boy, he's pretty darn good. But guys like that could end up going, you know, because of those things, they could end up going in the third round. You know, Bleedy Ray Wilson from UConn, I don't think makes it to the third round, but he would be a type of guy that everybody would jump on in a hurry. So it's going to be tough because – trying to keep up with the receivers in this league, Vic, you know, have pushed the corners up in the draft in a lot of ways. And the other part of it, too, is in recent years, we've been able to find receivers in every round. We haven't found cover guys in every round. This year, it's a little more of an equal situation, and I think that's a good thing because I still think there's talent to be found as we move on in the draft.
Yeah, receiver, another position that I think the Browns would have on their radar, tight end. The pass-catching guy, I know they've picked up a couple of tight ends in free agency, but that pass-catching sort of player, difference maker, is this also a draft where you could see that happening? It tends to happen in just about every draft, right, where that guy gets picked in the third round or even lower.
Yeah, I like, you know, a guy that I like is Derek Gragg from Arkansas for that pass-catching tight end. Mm. Didn't play very much last year, had a leg injury, ended up missing a lot of the season, ran around like an absolute colt at the combine, and has good tape from the past. I think that he would be a great third-round value, that type of pass-catching tight end that would fit there pretty well.
Well, those are good thoughts, and I'll tell you what, you definitely have shed a different light on this, which I knew you would, because I know you study this thing deeply, and I know, again, you pay attention to this Browns team, and I think this is the other shoe that has to drop here with the new folks running things here, Charles, is that they've done the free agency thing. I think they've made some wise, methodical moves there as far as hitting the logical places. Now we wait to see what the draft brings, but it sounds like there's enough opportunity to hit a lot of these areas, at least in one form, and whether or not these guys are contributing right away or down the line, but at least it gives you a chance to cover these positions.
No, I agree totally, because I just think that this is one of those drafts where we may not have superstar power because of the lack of quote-unquote quarterbacks, but I think it's a very deep draft at most positions where you can, you know, throughout the draft, you should be able to find someone that gives you an opportunity to get better.
Well, great stuff, and we appreciate the fact that you took the time to join us, and I guess we'll have to talk with you down the line after the draft.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
All right.
Appreciate it, Vic.
Yes. Charles Davis, he joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.